In today's news headlines, the U.S. House of Representatives on Wednesday voted to end U.S. support for Saudi Arabia's war on Yemen in a rebuke to President Donald Trump. The vote was 248 to 177, with 18 Republicans siding with Democrats. The Senate already passed a similar measure last year, 56 to 41, but the past Republican leadership in the House refused to hold a vote. Now, with Democrats in power in the House, the bill moves forward, and the Senate is likely to pass its version of the bill in the coming weeks. House Republicans did get through an amendment that the U.S. would continue its intelligence-sharing partnership with Saudi Arabia whenever, quote, appropriate in the national security interest of the United States. It is not clear if the president will sign the bill or not. In news from the special counsel's investigation, a federal judge ruled on Wednesday that Trump's former campaign chair, Paul Manafort, repeatedly lied to prosecutors even after agreeing to cooperate with Robert Mueller's team. Manafort is currently awaiting sentencing on other charges. The ruling on Wednesday could affect the severity of his sentence. According to the New York Times, quote, the judge found he lied about his contacts with a Russian associate during the campaign and after the election. Prosecutors claim that the associate, Konstantin V. Kilimnik, has ties to Russian intelligence and have been investigating whether he was involved in Russia's covert campaign to influence the election results. Additionally, quote, Mr. Manafort joins a string of former Trump aides who have been found to have lied to federal investigators about their involvement with Russians or their intermediaries, including Michael Flynn, Mr. Trump's first national security advisor, George Papadopoulos, a former campaign advisor, and Michael Cohen, Mr. Trump's longtime fixer and lawyer. Meanwhile, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham and Democratic Senator Bob Menendez introduced a bipartisan bill on Wednesday to impose sanctions on Russia as punishment for attempted election interference. The Senate had taken up a similar bill last year that failed to pass. This version is apparently tougher and would, according to Reuters, target, quote, Russian banks that support efforts to interfere in foreign elections, the country's cyber sector, new sovereign debt, and individuals deemed to facilitate illicit and corrupt activities directly or indirectly on behalf of Russian President Vladimir Putin. Even if the bill passes both congressional chambers, Trump may not sign it. He has been reluctant to hold Russia accountable in the past. Senator Menendez explained, quote, President Trump's willful paralysis in the face of Kremlin aggression has reached a boiling point in Congress. A new poll on the bipartisan legislation to avert a second shutdown has found strong support among the public. About 60% of Americans like the current agreement that has $1.375 billion in funding for 55 miles of border fencing. 24% want Trump to accept the deal but then declare a national emergency to get the rest of his coveted funds. And 16% thinks he should refuse to sign the deal even if it means a government shutdown for the second time. Right-wing commentators are encouraging Trump to not sign the deal by the February 15th deadline. Rabid right-winger Ann Coulter said, Trump talks a good game on the border wall, but it's increasingly clear he's afraid to fight for it. It was exactly this kind of rhetoric last year that pushed Trump into rejecting the first agreement to fund the government and led to a record-breaking 35-day shutdown. It remains to be seen if Trump will give in to Congress and the public or listen to Fox News and other anti-immigrant pundits. A House Foreign Affairs Committee hearing on Wednesday became heated when Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar grilled U.S. Special Representative to Venezuela Elliot Abrams over his past. Abrams had served in the Ronald Reagan administration, where he had been involved in several foreign interventions, most of which Congress appeared ready to sweep under the rug. But Omar raised them during the hearing on Venezuela, sparking defensive responses from Abrams.
In 1991, you pleaded guilty to two counts of withholding information from Congress regarding your involvement in the Iran-Contra affair, for which you were later pardoned by President George H.W. Bush. I fail to understand why members of this committee or the American people should find any testimony that you give today to be truthful?
If I can respond to that.
It wasn't a question.
That was not a question.
I reserve the right to my time.
It is not right.
That was not a question.
Members of this committee can attack
on February 8th,
who is not permitted to reply.
That was not a question. Thank you for your participation.
From the day that President Duarte was elected in a free election to this day, El Salvador has been a democracy. That's a fabulous achievement.
Yes or no, do you think that massacre was a fabulous achievement that happened under our watch?
That is a ridiculous question, and I
yes or no?
No.
I will take that as a yes.
I am not going to respond to that kind of personal attack, which is not a question.
That's Elliot Abrams, the U.S. Special Representative to Venezuela, clashing with Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. Omar's colleague, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, reacted to the exchange on Twitter, saying that Omar is, quote, a Somali refugee. She has felt the ravages of war, watching her question Trump's envoy to Venezuela, who pled guilty to several Iran-Contra crimes, feels like justice. Meanwhile, several Code Pink activists who protested Abrams at the hearing were arrested, including two recent guests on our show, Ariel Gold and Medea Benjamin. Omar had come under fire earlier this week for calling out members of Congress for being beholden to campaign donations through AIPAC, the powerful pro-Israel lobby. When Trump called on her to resign over her comments and called her apology lame, quote unquote, Omar lashed back on Wednesday, saying on Twitter, quote, you have trafficked in hate your whole life against Jews, Muslims, indigenous immigrants, black people, and more. I learned from people impacted by my words. When will you? Activists seeking to strengthen and expand the Social Security program declared Wednesday Scrap the Cap Day. It's an annual marker of what the group Patriotic Millionaires says is, quote, the day that someone earning $1 million per year will be done paying into Social Security tax for the rest of the year. 90% of Americans will continue paying Social Security taxes all year long because they don't meet the earnings cap. To mark that day, Senator Bernie Sanders revived his Social Security Expansion Act, aimed at increasing the benefits paid out to retirees, removing the cap on earnings, and increasing taxes on those making more than $250,000 a year. And that does it for our headlines today.